Today's podcast is brought to you by the Eden Pure Thunderstorm Air Purifier 3-Pack. Save $200 when you put in code word HOWIE3. Sale is just for this week only and while supplies last. Order at EdenPure.com. Enjoy the podcast.
She's the Boston Herald's wittiest wordsmith. The last woman standing at the Whiskey Priest. Once a very legitimate magazine that we definitely didn't make up, named her the Michael Jordan of radio. Wait, don't you think we're laying it on a little thick here, Grace?
Just stick to the script.
Oh, okay. Live from the Aviva Trattoria studio, it's the Grace Curley Show.
Welcome back, everyone, to the Grace Curley Show. For the first hour, we went over some of Joe Biden's CNN town hall. And if you weren't lucky enough to catch it live, we kind of broke down some of the ramblings. He had a couple of, you know, strange moments, as always, as he's wont to do. But by far, the cut that stood out the most to me was when a man got up, well-dressed, handsome guy, got up, and he's a restaurant owner. And he asked some questions about what Joe Biden plans to do to incentivize people to go back to work. And this really, his answer kind of told the whole story about how Democrats think. But before I play that, I want to bring on my next guest. Robert Walker is a developer and the principal owner of the 110 Grill Restaurants. He's a friend of the show. Robert, thank you so much for coming on the Grace Curley Show.
Hey, great. Grace, good to speak with you.
Robert, I don't usually do this with guests. I don't usually play the whole sound cut, but because I really want you to get an idea. And I'll be honest, I really want to see how angry you get from this sound. We're going to play the whole sound cut and then have you react. Go ahead, Jared.
We employ hundreds of hardworking team members throughout the state of Ohio and across the country. And we're looking to hire more every day as we try to restart our restaurant business. The entire industry, amongst other industries, continue to struggle to find employees. How do you and the Biden administration plan to incentivize those that haven't returned to work yet? Hiring is our top priority right now.
Well, two things. One, if you notice, we kept you open. We spent billions of dollars to make sure restaurants could stay open. And a lot of people who work as waiters and waitresses decided that they don't want to do that anymore because there's other opportunities at higher wages, because there's a lot of openings now in jobs. And people are beginning to move. There's some evidence that maintaining the ability to continue to not have to pay your rent so you don't get thrown out and being able to provide for unemployment insurance has kept people from going back to work. There's not much distinction between not going back to work in a restaurant and not going back to work at a factory. So people are looking to change opportunities, change what they're doing.
So I know that's a very convoluted answer, of course. I mean, it's coming from President Biden. But Robert Walker, my first question for you is, what do you think of him telling this restaurant owner, we kept you open?
Well, we never should have got shut down in the first place. I think that's where I'd begin. And secondly, he didn't keep anybody open. He wasn't even in charge back then. He's trying to take credit for what Trump's administration did in the heat of the moment, which he had nothing to do with but criticize from afar. So we had no idea what happened last year. And all the PPP money and the Main Street money and the other opportunities to work with, you know, the shutdown governance didn't come from the Biden administration. So I'm not sure he really gave an answer, Grace, that I can understand.
Yeah, no, I would agree with you. And now, what is your take on his answer to why people aren't going back to work at restaurants? He was essentially telling the guy, you have to pay people more and that people don't want to work in restaurants anymore. Do you have thoughts on that?
Well, I can tell you my bigger thought. My thought is that this is all being done on purpose. They're trying to increase the wages of everybody. They couldn't get their $15 an hour wage passed. So what they're doing is they're artificially increasing demand and requiring people to be desperate and pay people more money, and the bubble will burst. So when the unemployment bonus money runs out, all the people that have gotten paid more money than what the job can support will ultimately lose their job and go back on unemployment. And that's certainly not what anybody's long-term goal should be. I will expand on that just a little bit more. The unemployment rate is much higher than what they're advertising. And they're trying to create this false narrative that you need to pay more in order to attract workers, and that's certainly not the case. And the same workers that they're trying to protect and trying to increase wages to will then have to go to a McDonald's or any other type of place, Walmart or any other business, not just restaurants, and they're going to be paying $15 to $18 for a cheeseburger. So the same people they claim to want to help and support, they're hurting the most.
Yeah, and there's always been this kind of narrative around Democrats that they don't love the private sector. They don't understand that some people work to provide a product and work hard, and they're very entrenched in the government way of thinking. But are you surprised, Robert, over the last year of this pandemic, more than a year and a half, really, about how very open people like Joe Biden and Charlie Baker have been about their kind of indifference or even their lack of empathy for restaurant owners and this business in particular? Because at a time when you saw a lot of celebrities and a lot of, you know, athletes and a lot of public figures coming out in support of these dying small businesses, it seems like the government didn't have that same compassion.
Well, it's clear that this attitude has gone on for decades, Grace, not just since the pandemic. The Democrats have never really enjoyed small business owners and small business folks that really get up every single morning at 4, 5, 6 o'clock in the morning and grind it out all day long, because traditionally they're more conservative because they understand how hard it is to make money. And the same folks that work for restaurants or other small businesses climb the ladder a different way than corporate people do or government workers do. So I think there's always been a slight difference of opinion between conservatives and liberals on how small businesses operate and what they contribute to America. People also need to remember that for every dollar that gets paid to an employee, roughly 25 to 28 cents, depending on the federal rate and your status, goes right back to the government. And on top of that is workers' comp insurance and liability insurance and general liability in general for your whole business goes up at the same rate. So a dollar an hour raise isn't a dollar an hour to somebody. It's about $1.50 when you factor all the differences in that you need to pay as an employer.
Yeah, that's a good point. And I'm speaking with Robert Walker from 110 Grill. He's the developer and principal owner. Robert, just in case people are just tuning in right now, we're discussing a question that a restaurant owner brought up to Joe Biden in the town hall last night. And I want to circle back here to one part of this and ask you one more thing. Let's play Joe Biden's initial response to the owner one more time. This is cut three.
Well, two things. One, if you notice, we kept you open. We spent billions of dollars to make sure restaurants could stay open.
Now, Robert, you had mentioned that Joe had really nothing to do with it, and I know that the restaurants you're involved with, Aviva, 110 Grill, you guys have had, you know, you've worked really hard and you've managed to stay open, but there's also a level of a slap in the face to restaurant owners who weren't able to stay open, and I'm sure because of the business you're in and the friends you have, you know a lot of people who have dealt with that. What do you think they're thinking when they hear, "We kept you open," and their business they had for 20 or 30 years is no longer around?
Well, unfortunately, some of the people that I know that weren't as fortunate as us to be able to maneuver through the choppy waters did lose their business. And they've thrown their hands up in the air, Grace. They don't know where to turn. They haven't had the opportunity to really understand how the government is going to put them back in business, as they should do, to help them, because they were closed through no fault of their own, and they obviously couldn't make their payments and so forth, and they couldn't survive. So, you know, I think it's disingenuous to have the administration believe that they're the savior for every small business. And whether they went out or they're still in business, you know, I think I've discussed, and I believe, you know, the evidence shows with particularly Biden, they don't care.
Yeah.
They truly don't care. We have roughly about a million illegals coming across the border this month alone, correct?
Yep.
And And those folks are going to be taking jobs at the lowest possible wage, which is taking jobs, possible jobs, away from every hardworking American that lost a job through no fault of their own, which are going to suppress wages, that are going to put the middle-class people in a precarious position and the lower wage earners in competition with illegals that are going to go out and find the lower-paying wage jobs. So this is a rouge. It's not going to work. Unfortunately, only time will solve this problem and make it more apparent on what a disastrous plan this is for the American people.
Robert Walker, developer and principal owner of the 110 Grill Restaurants and Aviva Trattoria Restaurants, we thank you so much for joining the Grace Curley Show and offering your unique insight. We hope to have you on again soon, Robert.
Thank you, Grace.
The frenzied real estate market is causing bidding wars across certain segments. Real estate brokers are holding calls for highest and best offers because demand is so high. How do you as a seller know if you've realized all of the money for your property and if you've sold under the best terms? You wouldn't hire a refrigerator repairman to fix your valuable car. So when selling real estate, let the bidding war experts for over 45 years sell your property quickly, contingency-free, and for true market value. Recent real estate auctions for Grace Curley listeners have attracted as many as 30 qualified cash-ready buyers battling for their properties. At the end of your auction, you will know that no money was left on the table, and my Lord, that is a great feeling. Remember, when you sell your real estate in the usual way, with a broker, you pay the commission, but in a J.J. Manning auction, the buyer pays. That saves you, the seller, thousands of dollars right there. Whether residential, commercial, or land, J.J. Manning can get your property sold now. To learn more on how to get your property sold quickly and contingency-free, contact Charlie Gill at 800-521-0111 or go to jjmanning.com. Again, Charlie Gill at 800-521-0111 or go to jjmanning.com and get your property sold. We will be back. I want to talk a little bit about Dr. Fauci and gain of function. And we're going to play the Mary Catherine Hamm cut or the sound clips that I have been teasing throughout the course of the show. And I promise you, this is worth the wait. We'll be right back. It's the Grace Curley Show.
She's never held office, but she paid the Whiskey Priest's monthly rent once. She's Grace Curley. Follow Grace on Twitter at @G_Curley.
You know what's starting to make me really happy, which is how I know that I'm in the right business, is that when I see the news channels and they're running with a story that we did yesterday, I'm starting to feel like Howie. Like, we got to it first. We did that yesterday. Fox is running with a shoplifter story in LA. It is crazy. The guys just walk out with all of these clothes and everyone's just filming them.
But they haven't hit their 950 thieving per diem.
This is the Democrat utopia that we're living in. I do want to get to the Dr. Fauci things. Just a heads up, we are doing Woker Joke at 1:30. That's where you call in. I want to have full lines today. Call in and you have to guess, is the headline woke? Like it's real? Or is it a joke? Did we make it up here at the Grace Curley Studios? The Aviva Studios, I should say. We will play that at 1:30. It's going to be really fun. It's always a highlight of the week. But before we get to that, let's talk a little bit about Dr. Fauci, because he's been in the news this week. He had another fiery back and forth with Senator and Dr. Rand Paul. I got a text yesterday on the text line. All you have to do is type 63566, text in the word Curley to that number. And someone said, I like that you call him Dr. Rand Paul, because they try to diminish the fact that he's a doctor as well. No, he's a brilliant guy. And what he's doing by calling out Fauci is catching on, even in the strangest of places. We found real news in a hopeless place. CNN had on Mary Catherine Hamm. I'm not incredibly familiar with her. I guess she's a conservative writer. Some people are saying she used to be on Fox for a while. And it was co-host John Avlon, Brianna Keeler, and of course, with his serious person glasses, David Gregory. Now, I say this a lot about certain cuts, but I'm going to play this for you. And it's not going to do it justice, because while she does a fabulous job, I need you to keep in mind that the entire time, John Avlon looks like he's sick to his stomach. He is squirming in his seat. He is so uncomfortable that this woman has the audacity to criticize his favorite person in the world, Dr. Anthony Fauci. So let's start with cut 18.
Well, I don't think it's entirely a game. I think it's that Fauci is a very powerful public official who deserves and rarely gets tough questioning in almost any realm. He gets, frankly, a lot of fangirling and a lot of just sort of forum for his ideas, and he doesn't get a lot of pushback. Senator Paul understood the assignment here. He's asking about a tough subject that admittedly none of us are experts on, but I would like to know a lot more about. And despite his protestations, tough questions for Dr. Anthony Fauci are not attacks on science itself. This is something we should talk about.
Yeah, and then she goes into the different ways that he has caused distrust amongst American citizens, in particular when he openly lied about herd immunity. He made a lot of decisions that he thought were for our own good, you know, and that's sometimes when things can get a little blurry. When you stop making decisions based off, I don't know, the truth, and you start making them because you know better than anybody else what's important. Let's play her next cut, Jared.
Further, Fauci has something to do with the numbers on his own level of trustworthiness. He has at least twice, and I will be gentle in saying, at least shaded the truth about his COVID pronouncements based on his own judgment on what the public can handle. Now, you may think those shadings of the truth were noble, that, for instance, saying that masks were not particularly efficient for helping protect
you. All right,
you
let's stop it there, because that's the perfect place. Now, Fauci definitely thinks all of his decisions were noble, even as the truth comes out more and more that some of them were shady, you know, were maybe not the best choices. But listen to this flashback. So this entire week has been a back and forth between Rand Paul and Dr. Fauci, and Rand Paul keeps asking him about gain of function, and Fauci refuses to admit that gain of function was happening at the Wuhan lab and that the NIH was funding the Wuhan lab and ipso facto gain of function. Now listen to Fauci in 2013. This is cut 17.
I think that where we are right now in science and molecular biology, and particularly molecular virology, and our ability to sequence and recombine and create various organisms in some respect, is that the best way to prevent a nefarious act is to develop a culture of responsibility among scientists. You have to have some restrictions in the sense of you don't do work that could actually hurt people, in the sense of if you have a laboratory accident, you have to have the right containment. Once you start being too restrictive, you then impede creativity for so many of the good things that could come out of the same type of work.
Stephen Miller saw this cut that was going around from 2013, and he said, Fauci's a true believer in this kind of research. He has years invested in it. He has spent years talking, writing, and promoting it, and writing off the risks, and that's scary bleep. Once you look at it that way, his current defensiveness is clear, and you understand what he stands to lose. And then he says, this piece in The Nation, yes, The Nation, is so clarifying on this. This isn't about left or right. 4 million people are dead, likely because of this research. That's why he deflects and distracts. It's his life's work and funding. I printed out that story from The Nation, and at some point today, when I'm not so tight on time, I am going to get to it, because I think it breaks down what Mary Catherine Hamm was saying, which is when you start making decisions based off, well, I know what's best for everyone, you get into a really murky situation. And that's what he's in right now. And that's me, just like Mary said, I'm being generous by calling it a murky situation. I could easily say a criminal situation. 844-500-4242. We're lightening it up for the next segment. It's going to be woke or joke. So call in now, 844-500-4242. Let's get the lines packed and ready to go.
live from the Aviva Trattoria studio.
844-500-4242. That is the number if you want to call in and participate in Woker Joke. Here's how it works. I bring in Taylor Cormier, known as the Wizard of Woke, and he reads a headline, and the contestant has to guess, is this headline woke, as in it's real, or is it a joke, as in Taylor or someone in this area made up the headline? And if you do win, hang on the line. We'll put you on the list to win the Aviva Trattoria VIP lunch, which is really cool. Everyone really enjoys that. And just a side note, if you hear one of these headlines and you say to yourself, that's such a crazy story, there's no way that's woke, that can't be real, well, you can learn more about it in Taylor's segment, Week in Woke, which is at 5:30 on Thursday. So today at 5:30 on the Howie Carr Show. All right, did I cover all our bases?
Yeah, and to the callers who are afraid of calling in, you've got nothing to lose. It's a 50-50 shot, and if you win, you get entered to win a free dinner.
Yeah, it's like, remember in Who Wants to Be a Millionaire, there was some option you could pick where it...
50-50.
That makes sense. That's what it was called. This is a 50-50 game, like Taylor said. So let's see what you got. All right. Without further ado, it is time for Woke or Joke.
I started a joke.
Ha, 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 ha. But the joke was on me.
Like all the games we play here, we often get questions, can I text it? No, you have to call. You have to be on the line. 844-500-4242. All right, Taylor, are you ready to go?
I'm ready.
Let's go to Matthew. You're the first contestant on today's Woke or Joke. Are you ready for your headline, Matthew?
Grace, I'm 0 for 1. I got to get to 500. Let's go.
All right. Matthew, here's your headline. Orange County Pre-K tells students to call crayons blank instead of white.
I'm going to go joke on that one.
That is a joke. Very good. You're one and one, Matthew.
By the way, that was a joke. That's not true.
I thought for sure that would be identified as woke.
I wasn't convinced. I thought it could be real. All right, let's see. 844-500-4242. We're going to go to John. John, are you ready for your headline?
Yeah.
All right, John, here's your headline. Gasoline-scented fragrance for new Ford electric cars.
That's woke.
That is woke.
Wait. Hold on.
Not a joke.
John.
Not a joke.
You get to hang on and you get entered on the list. Hold on a second. You're telling me that you're going to make your car smell like gasoline so you don't feel like such a nerd for driving an electric vehicle.
So in a lot of the, when this technology was first coming out in the 21st century with electric vehicles, and they wanted to make sports muscle cars electric, they invented a way to have those electric sports cars reproduce the sound of gasoline sports cars. So it sounded like a cool car, but you'd never know it was electric. So now they're, you know, all these little putt-putt machines that don't go putt-putt, they want to make them smell like they go putt-putt.
Yeah, but you know what? This kind of reminds me of, if you're not that into cars, maybe you could be fooled, but it's kind of like if you really love cheeseburgers and they give you one of those fake cheeseburgers. If it's your thing, you're going to know the difference. It's not going to do the trick, in other words. But speaking of this really quick, I just want to interrupt Woker Joke for 1 second. LA Times had a tweet out today. And it said, California has been pushing the world toward electric cars for decades, but more electric cars means more lithium-powered batteries. Creating enough of them could be causing its own environmental crises. Disappointing. It took them a while to figure out where this energy was going to come from, how the cars would be powered, but they're finally figuring it out a few years too late. All right, let's go to Casey. Casey, are you ready for your woke or joke headline?
Okay, I'm ready.
All right, Casey, here's your headline. Marvel Comics introduces non-binary hero titled Snowflake and Their Twin Safe Space.
That's a joke.
That's not a joke, Casey. That's woke.
Not a joke. Not a joke.
Sorry, Casey.
Oh,
I'm not sorry, though. Thank you for calling in. I love when people get it wrong.
The new Warriors lineup was announced via a YouTube trailer, introducing us to new characters, including Screen Time, Trailblazer, B-Negative, and twins Snowflake and Safe Space. Safe Space is described as a stereotypical jock, but with pink hair and a pink costume. His twin Snowflake is non-binary, and their more proactive power allows them to create crystallized snowflake-shaped shurikens. What?
You're
the expert.
I like the New Warriors. I read the book in the 90s. I don't know what it is. We'll go with shurikens.
What is it?
I have no idea.
Can I just say something? I mean this in no offense, but if you are reading a story about nerdy sci-fi comic book stuff and it goes beyond Jared's scope, I don't know where you're finding this. Because he's an expert on all these things.
He found this story.
I found the story. I just don't know what a shuriken is or whatever.
Well, what are you... Come on, man.
I know. I got to pull my weight around.
Come
here.
On,
this is
man.
Called research. That's a really strange story. Does anyone watch... I know the answer is yes, because they make a lot of money, but are you into the Marvel stuff?
Hell no.
Jared?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
God, it's the same freaking movie every time.
Grandpa Taylor's coming out.
it's the same plot line for every movie.
Yes, there's a superhero
and
a bad
good guy. There's a bad guy. Bad guy gets better of good guy in the middle of movie. Good guy has doubts about himself. Doesn't know what to do. Good guy goes to girlfriend or boyfriend or snowflake friend and says, I don't know what to do. Gets inspiration from friend. Conquers bad guy in the end. Bad guy may come back for next movie.
But it's about the nuance and the hero's
There's
journey
no
of
nuance.
The character.
It's all the same.
I'm not going to lie, Taylor. The way you just described that, I might check out a Marvel movie. That was kind of intriguing.
It's terrible.
You had me in suspense. All right, let's go to Victor. Victor, are you ready for your woke or joke headline? And before you go, Victor, 844-500-4242. We still have a lot of headlines left, so you still have time to get on. Victor, you ready to go?
I am. Go ahead.
Okay, all right, Victor, here is your headline. This Olympic diver doesn't identify as gay or straight, but human.
It sounds like a joke, but I'm going to go woke.
Your instincts are correct, sir. It is
not
woke.
Not a joke.
His name is Timo Barthel, and he's come to define himself as human before anything else, looking to embrace all people. We're going to have that one on The Week in Woke later.
I kind of like that, though. I identify as human.
You don't identify as human. You are human. You can't identify as anything other than a human.
Thank you, Taylor. You're so sweet to me. All right, Mike, are you ready for your woke or joke headline?
Hey, Grace. Yes, I am.
Okay, here we go. I'm nervous for you, Mike. I don't know why. I feel like this is going to be a tough one. Go ahead, Taylor.
All right, Mike, here's your headline. Shark Week airs special Normalizing Shark Sexuals.
Woke.
That's a joke. I'm sorry.
I was going to say, this is going to turn into like the horror story.
By the way, that was a joke. That's not true.
Shark sexuals. Mike, get your head out of the gutter, man.
I was watching one of these Shark Week specials, and the way they talk about the sharks, I mean, it might as well be.
Oh, my God.
Oh, you'll watch
Crikey.
Shark.
Look at her. She's a beauty. Boy, I'd love to touch her.
I'm going to call your wife and be like, don't let Taylor watch
these
shark
shows. She was sitting there with me
anymore.
Watching these things. It was creepy.
So you'll watch Shark Week, but you won't watch a Marvel Cinematic Masterpiece?
I didn't say I watched all of Shark Week. I watched one special, and I was like, okay, that's enough Shark Week for me.
It's the same plot.
Because they're all sharks.
It's the same plot. Yep. There's a shark that attacks a person, but they didn't mean to attack a person.
There was this one guy.
Now the sharks are good.
Well, hold on now. What's interesting is last week you read a story about the shark attack and how this professor, I think in like a Columbia professor or something, or maybe it was an Australian. Doesn't want us to call it shark attack anymore.
Shark incidents.
I was going through my TV guide the other day and there was a show and it was called Shark Attack.
Why didn't you call your cable provider and ask them to get that channel taken off the air immediately.
I was really offended because, honestly, I watched a little bit of it, and it seemed like they were nips, if anything.
Yeah, love bites.
Exactly. All right, ready? Lorraine, you're next with Grace and Taylor. Are you ready for your headline, Lorraine?
I'm ready.
All right, Lorraine, we're going to stick with a fish theme here. Here's your headline. Homosexual Perfect. Behavior among fish increases attractiveness to females.
I'm going to say woke.
That is woke. Very good, Lorraine.
Not a joke. Not a joke.
In many species, females are attracted to large, conspicuous males, but among animals that mate with many partners, males that manage to mate with more than one female can increase their chances of attracting others, even if they aren't as conspicuous. We're going to go over that one in the Week in Woke as well.
A lot of...
How can you tell a fish is gay?
I don't have all the answers. I just host a radio show.
I can't tell if a fish is a male or a female just by looking at it.
Well, that was I showed Howie the headline. He's like, how do they know? How do they research? Like, and how can you tell?
And why?
These are all really...
Don't fish have a don't ask, don't tell policy?
Listen, these are all really good questions, but can we please stick to the topics here? We got to get through some of these callers. Maureen, you're next with Grace and Taylor. Are you ready for your woke or joke headline, Maureen?
I'm ready.
Okay, here we go.
All right, Maureen, here's your headline. White House child tax credit comes under fire from animal activists who say pet parents are suffering too.
I'm going to say that's woke.
That's a joke.
I came up with that one.
Yeah, that was a joke. That's not true.
Nice try, Maureen, but I got you good. I was thinking about that because... Dog moms specifically, and this is no shade to the dog moms out there, but you guys really get high on your horse. I mean,
ha.
It's all about the dog moms. So I'm surprised they haven't like petitioned, but give them time. All right, let's go to Steve. Steve, you're next. Are you ready for your woke or joke headline, Steve?
Hi, Chris. I am. By the way, a shuriken is a Chinese throwing star.
Oh, okay.
This Chinese white star?
Throwing star.
Oh, a throwing star.
Cool. Very cool, Steve. Thank you.
I thought it was a move in Street Fighter or Mortal Kombat or something. Shuriken!
Oh, kind of.
Okay.
Here we go.
All right. I'm ready for my question.
Steve, here's your headline. Ever noticed that there aren't any female breakfast cereal mascots?
That is a joke.
No, that's woke.
No, really?
Yes,
not
yes.
A joke. Oh, not a joke.
Guys. This is actually before its time, before I think we even came up with the phrase woke. This is from 2013.
Wait, I have to say something right now, and I say this usually once a week. Jared, what's the number two rule of the Grease Curly Show?
No greasy foods after 9 p.m.?
No. Hobbies. We need hobbies. If you're sitting around and you're coming up with breakfast cereal mascots and how it bothers you, you need hobbies or you need help.
But that's interesting. There aren't any. Not that I know of.
How do you know? The toucan can't be a female?
It's Toucan Sam.
Samantha. Ever heard of that name?
It doesn't sound like a Samantha.
Oh, now we're going to judge based off the vocals?
Yeah. Do I sound like a female Taylor?
Hey, I'm not going to say...
No, I don't.
I'm not going to say anything that's going to get me flagged by Jen Psaki for disinformation. All right, let's take these last few people here. Dan, are you ready for your woke or joke headline?
I am ready.
All right, Dan, here's your headline. Tim Burton taps Zendaya to star as candy tycoon Wendy Wonka in reimagined film Charlene and the Chocolate Factory.
I am going to go with woke.
That is a joke.
It sounded good, though.
Oh, by the way, that was a joke.
And I noticed
it's not true.
I said that name like Howie would say it. I said Charlene instead of Charlene. Oh, Charlene. Oh, it's Charlene.
All right. Do we have time for one more, Taylor?
I think so.
All right, Peggy, you're the last contestant on Woke or Joke. Are you ready for your headline, Peggy?
Yes, I am.
All right, Peggy, here's your headline. Cuba's record on LGBTQ issues is better than you think.
Joke.
That is a joke. Very good, Peggy.
Very good,
Peggy. By the way, that was a joke. That's not true.
All right, thank you very much, Taylor, our Wizard of Woke. This is always a favorite for people. Tune in to Woke or Joke. I mean, sorry, Weekend Woke at 5:30 today to hear more about these stories. It's true what they say at Perfect Smiles. Change your smile, change your life. I saw the change with Howie and with the mailroom manager. Many people walk around not smiling because they aren't happy with their teeth, and that's no way to live. It really is amazing to watch their testimonial videos at PerfectSmiles.com. I actually went into Perfect Smiles to get my teeth cleaned, and the dental hygienist said to me, it's incredible what Dr. Houghton does on a daily basis. He changes people's lives, and you can see their whole personality shift once they get their smile the way they want it. Dr. Houghton is an artist. He's also incredibly nice. Perfect Smiles is conveniently located in Nashua, New Hampshire. Parking is free, which I know is a great plus for a lot of people. The staff is awesome. You guys will love them. And if you've been wanting to upgrade your look for years, contact them today and look at their video testimonials. I always say, don't take my word for it. Watch the video testimonials and you'll understand what I'm talking about. Go to PerfectSmiles.com. That's PerfectSmiles.com. Change your smile, change your life. We will be back with more on the other side. This is The Grace Curley Show.
You're listening to The Grace Curley Show. Grace Curley, she's here for the love.
Would I rather be feared or loved? Easy, both. I want people to be afraid of how much they love me.
Welcome back, everyone, to the Grace Curley Show. Whether residential, commercial, or land, JJ Manning can get your property sold now. To learn more on how to get your property sold quickly and contingency-free, contact Charlie Gill at 800-521-0111 or go to jjmanning.com. With over 16,000 sales and satisfied clients, you can be the next one. Jared, what is the poll question and what are the results thus far?
Did your favorite restaurant survive the pandemic?
Yeah, if you missed it last night at the very, very empty town hall, Joe Biden told Don Lemon, or no, he told a restaurant owner that we, and I'm quoting here, we kept you open. In other words, we should all be so thankful to the government for keeping us afloat. I would say no. Actually, both my favorite restaurants closed. Riva in Scituate Harbor closed and Cafe Bella in Randolph closed. And those are two of my favorite restaurants. Thankfully, I still have Aviva and 110 Grill and all those, but you know, two of my favorites did not make it through the pandemic.
49% of the audience says no, their favorite restaurant did not survive.
Now, we are going to move on to some Fauci stuff throughout the day. I do want to talk a little bit about Nancy Pelosi. She's doubling down on this bill. She's not going to sign anything unless she gets everything she wants, and she's also not allowing Jim Banks or Congressman Jim Jordan to join the 1/6 task force or whatever they're calling themselves, the commission. And it just seems like Molly Hemingway put it really well. I'll find the exact paragraph, but she said that, you know, this is a woman who is just struggling to keep in control and to keep her power. And it's quite sad. I often say this about Nancy Pelosi, but you just have to think of it like this. Her husband is incredibly wealthy. We're talking hundreds of millions of dollars. I could get into the way he made so much of that money, but that's for another day. But my point is, if you're 80-something years old, what is she's like 85, maybe older? You've got all that money, millions and millions of dollars, and you still want to walk around that Capitol telling people to put their masks on and yelling at Jim Jordan? How empty must your life be at that point?
She is 81.
All right. I aged her a little bit. It's just a sad state of affairs. We will be back. We're talking Dr. Fauci and much more. It's The Grace Curley Show.